Board of Supervisors will reconvene. And before we move on to, what is it, item 7F, Road Department, just give me a minute. I neglected, when we were doing consent, to pull an item, which was 5J. And I would ask that the board, in order to open that up, we have to rescind our vote and bring it. Is that correct, Ms. Reed?
Or you can make another vote to rescind your prior vote.
Right, right. Yeah. So that we can talk about this where I wanted it pulled. Is that correct?
Only as to item J, because that was
yes.
Probably part of the vote.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. Only item J.
Yes.
So I would move for that.
I would have a motion measure for the...
Yeah, but we aren't going to get to that yet. But I think right now the motion would be just
to
rescind the vote
as to item
5J to bring it back to the board.
With direction
right.
to staff to
right.
bring this item back to the board at the December 5th meeting.
Right. Okay.
I'll second.
Okay.
Where are we going?
Okay.
And count for second.
And all we're doing is rescinding the vote to bring that for discussion on where I was wanting to pull it originally. Okay?
Are we rescinding the entire consent agenda
no.
vote?
No,
no,
only
just
as to 5J.
5J. Okay. All righty. Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Cobson?
Aye. So, forgive me, board members, but Ms. Collard, I just needed further details on the scope of work that will be done in this contract, and I assume that you need more time, and so that's why I asked that it be brought back on the 5th to provide more details on the scope of work.
We will be back. Thank you for
okay.
Time.
And which contract was that?
5J.
I was just wondering if it had the name of it there.
Youth Empowerment.
The YES contract?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That helps me figure out.
And so do we need to do anything at this point other than it's going to come back? Is that correct?
So basically that 5J is continued to December 12th?
5th.
Or 5th, sorry. 12-5.
Yes.
Next meeting. Okay. Do we need to revisit the original vote, or we rescinded it with that one vote?
We rescinded it as to 5J.
Just that one item.
Okay. All right. We'll move on to item 7F, Road Department.
Good morning, Board.
Good morning.
So... Yes, ma'am. Tom Deany, Director of
Thank
Public
you.
Works. before you is an ordinance for the first read related to the presentation we gave a few months ago with the Jefferson Trade Route, allowing certain segments of Siskiyou County roadways to become either designated non-highway or combined use. And I believe County Council has some edits to read in for the record.
Okay.
In section 1, where it reads Article 16, quote, off-highway vehicles sections, the section should be amended to read instead of 4-6, it should be 3-4.1601 through 3-4.1603. In regard to section definitions, the section that reads 4-6.1601 should be 3-4.1601. In regards to proposed section 4-6.1602, it should read section 3-4.1602. On the second page, above the table where it reads section 4-6.1601, 3-4.1603. In regards to the numbering on the third page where it reads section with Roman numerals, it should be section Roman numeral followed by section Roman numeral 3, and then section Roman numeral 4 needs to be added, which reads, and I will provide this language to you, Wendy, after, CEQA exemption, roadways, and then inside colon, inside parentheses, paved, gravel, or dirt that are classified within the county roadway system are improved roads that have similar impacts to a road that is accessed and utilized by a standard operating vehicle. Therefore, the project is exempted under categorical exemption, class 1, existing facilities, section 15301, as the roads are disturbed surfaces that have a long-standing history of use. This project is exempt because the roadways are currently constructed and in place, whether that be paved, gravel, or dirt, and are currently being used by the public for access. Additionally, the project is exempt under the common sense exemption, as the project does not have the potential for causing a significant effect on the environment because it can be seen with certainty that there is no possibility that the activity in question may have a significant event effect on the environment, period.
And you had a red line version?
And I will sign that language.
Awesome, thank you.
Okay, so if everybody recalls, this is the plan to make it so we can take an off-highway vehicle all the way to the coast in Siskiyou County for the Jefferson Trade Route, and we had that presentation several months ago. The work that we have done since then is, in addition to having the approval from the California Highway Patrol Commissioner, I went out and inspected every segment of the roadway to make sure that there wasn't any undue hazards, and there was not. Right. The bar that I set was, while looking at these roadways, is motorcycles are already able to use this roadway, right? And is there any special circumstances which would make this roadway more dangerous for an off-highway vehicle than it would be currently for a motorcycle, which is legal to use it? And the answer was no. If this vote is passed, then we will get to work in putting the appropriate signage in all those locations to let other motorists know that it is a combined use area and they need to keep their eyes open for off-highway vehicles. One thing of note is, especially when I was doing the Happy Camp stretch, we drove all those sections in one day. I only saw two other vehicles. Both of those vehicles were already four-wheelers. So it's a pretty empty stretch of road, and it's already being used somewhat for the use that we're proposing.
So this is ordinance, but we're not doing it by hearing. Just clarify for me.
This is the first reading of the ordinance, and it would be brought back for a public hearing on December 5th, if the board so directs.
Thank you. The signage that you'll be putting up, will it be especially on the highway itself that they're crossing? Because that's been the whole catch in this give-along for the entire time I've been on the board.
This will not enable us to cross Highway 96.
It won't, okay.
Per the state's regulations,
okay,
they won't consider it at all until we have our side on the county tied up. So they can drive up to the highway trailer and go to another point.
Okay.
And that's okay. That's how they would have to do that.
Okay. But for the intersections that you're talking about, is it high traffic areas, or is it, I guess what I'm looking for, is the signage going to be with the flashing light thing?
It's going to depend on area. Coming up on Highway 96, we will have a approaching freeway sign, and I do plan to have a beacon on that one to keep somebody from accidentally crossing without paying attention.
Great.
All other signs will be standard for the
right.
MUCD.
Perfect. Thank you. That's all I need to know.
Okay.
Board comments. Supervisor Overton, anything?
I'll defer.
Okay. Supervisor Howe?
A little last.
Where's Daryl? He's not grinning at me today.
Daryl's in Mexico.
another route.
Yeah.
Help me through this thing here. I'm having some issues with looking at the map.
Sure.
Okay. can't quite figure out the map. A couple things I want to ask about the map that's in our packet. Is this route going up the Grayback Road?
I believe it crosses over, but that's not part of our discussion here today because that is not a county road.
Correct. So the designation I see on here is not the Grayback Road, it's something else. What is that? From, as you leave Happy Camp going northwest. You have lots of maps, I only have one.
It's part of the board packet. It should be in there. But you're talking about Happy Camp going north?
Yeah. Maybe I'm looking at the...
I think there's 12 pages total.
Okay. I got one map with all of the maps on it.
There's maps.
Scroll down.
Scroll down.
Sorry. I get that. So I see Indian Creek Road. What? I'm looking at the first map coming out of Happy Camp going northwest. What is the road that it is on? Is it that Grayback?
I believe it's Indian Creek to start with.
Yeah. I don't know. He's looking at the west of Indian Creek Road.
Figure 1-5. 1-4, I guess, is the figure you're looking at.
At the intersection Indian Creek Road and South Fork Road, being located in township range, etc. Said roads being county maintained highways, then southwesterly 1.5 miles along South Fork Road to the true point in the beginning. So, intersection of Forest Service. That's when it hits Forest Service 17 and 32. Is that Grayback?
I don't know.
I believe it is.
I only know it by name.
You want to look at what he's looking at?
Come on. Yeah, I want him to look what I'm looking
at. Right here.
Is this what you're looking at here?
So this is figure 1.5 here. This is the close part, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is where it starts at Indian Creek and then goes to South Fork. And then when it hits at the end, this is the Forest Service Road designation, 18 and 30. Cool. I'd be happy to look that up and tell you its common name. I don't have it.
Maybe I just jumped on my overall question. I don't know what I'm approving today. When I look at the route.
Yes.
The route's on multiple jurisdictions.
Correct. We are only looking at county jurisdictional roads.
Okay. And what work has been done with Josephine County, Del Norte County, on the rest of the trade route? Do you know?
I do not know. Okay. No, my purview is only the sections that apply to the county.
Okay. And our approval then is only segmented to the portions that are within our jurisdiction?
Yes, sir. The ones that are in the table that's included.
And then this will be coming back for a public hearing.
That's correct.
That's basically what we're approving today, is for this to come back to a hearing.
I'm good.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anyone else?
All right.
So then, I'm looking for action from the board.
I'm going to approve.
Okay. Second. Okay.
And like Natalie said, we do have time to publish and have that public hearing on the 5th.
Okay.
Okay.
Works for me.
And for clarification, it's for the first reading of the ordinance as amended.
As amended. As amended, as mm-hmm. Natalie read.
That's fine. I was just going to say, perhaps you can give me a map of just what we're approving.
Yes, sir.
And not the Jefferson trade route.
And I do have a quick question. It is just the ordinance with the table in there listing the roads.
Yes.
The maps are not going to be part of that ordinance, correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're part of the agenda packet.
Right, they do
but
not.
They're not part of the ordinance.
That's just backup.
Okay. If it was that many pages, I'd be asking for a summary, but not at this point. Okay.
That's what I just asked for.
Well, a summary to publish in the paper, so yeah. A little different. All righty. Supervisor Hupp?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
All righty.
Okay. I'm going to jump up to item 7J, because I know there's people in here waiting to hear that. So we're going to start with community development. Mr. Dean. Good morning still.
It is, and good morning to you as well again. Rick Dean, Community Development Director. This is all associated with the groundwater well application process guidelines. From direction of the board, we've made two complete circuits back to GSAs to have comment and conversation regarding the groundwater well application process guidelines, which I want to make clear that these are for informational and for educational purposes, strictly, on the process to hopefully get a well. From our meetings, greatly sponsored by Mr. Matt Parker back here coordinating those, kindly. It really boils down to a few things. One, it's a lot of frustration amongst everybody. But primarily, the governor's order looking at setback requirements or meeting the effect that you're not going to have interference for functionality or production of adjacent wells. We were asking for a hydrogel to do that report. Few and far between hydrogeologists. However, we have one currently that has submitted a report for the Tudor Lake Basin that we reviewed as satisfactory. We're waiting for confirmation from the Tudor Lake GSA to move forward with that permit. That said, that issue we will be hopefully working with Dr. Fulvia to address. She's been developing a decision-making permitting tool that we're hoping to employ at the direction of the board to move forward to essentially create matrices for each of the basins as far as, you know, distance to wells based on the different geology of the two different basins. And she'll be presenting directly after this conversation to address that. Thirdly, the conversation as far as an indemnification agreement, and specifically what we're asking for is direction from the board to have a final decision whether or not we want to move forward with an indemnification agreement associated with permits that we issue for production wells. And once I get that concrete decision and can incorporate it into the guidelines, and look to bring that back as a resolution, final draft.
So I've got some public comment on this item, but before I go there quickly, I guess, with regard to the next presentation from Dr. Fulvia, are these kind of hand in hand? But they're asking for two different decisions, I guess. How do we want to handle that?
Yeah, they're hand in hand in a sense. So specifically with the indemnification agreement, they're not.
Okay.
But as far as moving forward with the process, addressing public trust doctrine, and also the governor's order, they are. We've got to get to a point where we can bring this into ordinance and
right.
Solidify.
Understood. Go ahead.
So, Mallory, the county council, I think the guidelines advise the public on the process that we currently have. Would be looking towards the future. So, development of a tool that can be months down the road, as opposed to the guidelines, which just tell the public what we're doing right now, why we need the information that we ask from them to meet our processes.
Will Dr. Fulvia's tool, though, affect what the guidelines would have? That's where I guess I'm headed. And if they do, I don't want to have a decision that conflicts with the others. I'm trying to I don't know if I'm.
I think I could best address that. Is it would be an alternative. So specifically with the hydrogeologist, right?
Right.
They're down a path right now. We don't have another methodology to get you approval of a well permit.
Right.
With the implementation of a tool, you could set up matrices with distances that staff could utilize to issue on a material basis well permits.
Okay.
So it's an alternative, an option to the hydrogeologist conversation.
Okay. All right.
That makes sense.
Okay. I'm going to go to public comment.
Okay.
All right. If you're okay on that. We'll start with Craig Beasley, I think it is.
In 3 minutes.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Craig Beasley, and I'm with the Tule Lake Irrigation District and also part of the core team with the Tule Lake Basin with Siskiyou County and Monarch County and the City of Tule Lake. And I guess we did have some confusion with the two items, if you were going to accept the permitting process today and then have a presentation, we were confused on how that process was going to be.
We hope to clarify that here before you
okay.
go.
So I guess where we were at is I was going to ask you to delay, not put anything in place as of now without seeing the presentation and being able to comment on anything. And so that's where we're at, so I guess I can wait for the presentation. And
okay. Yeah, we'll see where this heads, because I think that's going to be, I don't know, a little bit of a complication. So we'll get there. How's that?
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
Okay. Mr. Nielsen, Tim Nielsen. Did we lose Tom Nielsen?
Yeah, he got me.
All right. I don't want him to think I forgot.
I'd like to thank the board for allowing me to speak today.
Sir, your name for the record.
My name is Tim Nielsen.
Thank you.
And I'm a cattle rancher and groundwater user located in the Gazelle area. I'm here today to urge the supervisors to direct the proper county departments to create the guidelines and procedures to allow for issuance of well permits throughout the county. A little background, my ranch has some of the first wells that were drilled in the Gazelle area. These wells were drilled to a relatively shallow depth, ranging from 70 to 100 feet. And in the past, these wells provided adequate water for irrigating my hay fields and some late summer irrigation of pasture. In fact, I have a well that Department of Water Resources has measured since 1952, and it shows the typical groundwater pumping use and recharge that's occurred throughout the history. Unfortunately, with new entities moving into the area, the demand on the groundwater has increased significantly. In the past 20 years, I would estimate the number of new wells that were drilled in the Gazelle area have more than doubled the total number of wells in the area. All of these new wells were drilled to a deeper depth of 200 to 300 feet and have greatly impacted the water that's available for my shallower wells. As a result, I've been forced to reduce or forego irrigation on my hay fields late in the growing season and drastically reduce the amount of irrigated pasture that I historically irrigated, both of which has led to a decrease in production that has made it extremely difficult for my ranch to remain profitable. This summer, I had to fallow 76 acres of productive hay ground due to not having sufficient water from the well that has historically irrigated the field. That's 76 acres of valuable ground where property taxes were paid and not a dime in revenue was generated. With all of my surrounding neighbors pumping water at a deeper depth, I've been forced to apply for a well permit through the Environmental Health Department to deepen my well. It is currently my understanding that the new state regulations have severely hindered the ability for the county to issue said well permits until new procedures have been established to comply with the state regulations. I recommend to the board that special guidelines be drafted for issuing well alteration permits to individuals such as myself who aren't looking to increase the amount of groundwater I pump or increase the number of acres I irrigate. Rather, I just need to get my wells to the same depth as my neighbors so I can pump the same amount of water for the same amount of acres that my wells have always irrigated. The issuance of a well alteration permit that doesn't increase irrigated acres or use should be exempt from the new state regulation requiring a geologist to determine if the well impacts neighboring wells. Consideration of neighboring wells isn't necessary for a well that will only irrigate the same number of acres that it's always watered. I urge that these procedures be drafted up by the necessary county departments as quickly as possible so the county can expedite the issuance of well alteration permits. Again, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Amanda Cooper. Good morning.
Good morning. Amanda Cooper. On behalf of the Salmon and Steelhead Coalition, a partnership between Trout Unlimited, California Trout, and the Nature Conservancy, we respectfully request that the Board of Supervisors, considering the following recommendations regarding the development of an updated well ordinance to protect public trust resources and water supply reliability in the county. We recognize the complexity and necessity of updating the well ordinance. The most recent draft makes important improvements over the previous version, but does not address critically important aspects necessary to ensure future wells do not impact existing water users or public trust resources. As such, we foremost recommend that the county take the time to develop a transparent stakeholder process to develop an ordinance that addresses required protections and environmental compliance, and to aid in that effort, we offer the following recommendations. First, please clarify the public trust resources the county is considering and addressing, including a methodology for defining the public trust review area developed using the best available science. Two, provide specific standards on how adverse impacts to public trust resources will be evaluated in individual well permit applications, including guidelines for well permit applicants. Three, the definition of de minimis should be decreased to 0.5 acre feet per year, along with the development of stream buffers and mandatory well setback requirements. Four, develop a monitoring and reporting program that aids in reducing data uncertainties, monitors for protections, and supports adaptive management. And finally, develop and evaluate potential mitigation measures which, if implemented properly, could offset public trust impacts and improve water supply reliability for the county. Thank you.
Thank you. Online, Anna?
Battery 100%. Caller ending in 0090. It's your turn to speak.
Good morning, members of the board. This is Nathaniel Kane with Environmental Law Foundation. We submitted a letter last night along with friends of the Shasta River, and I'll just briefly summarize. We appreciate some of the edits that have been made to this ordinance over the last few months. I think there are some slight improvements in here. But fundamentally, I think that we're not quite there on public trust analysis in terms of having an actual standard for evaluating impacts of new wells on public trust resources. And I also think that we're not there on evaluating cumulative impacts under CEQA. Nor in recognizing that the adoption of this ordinance or these guidelines is itself a project that requires CEQA review. And I'm very interested to see Dr. Foglia's presentation in a few minutes. I think that there are a lot of potentially good ideas in there. But this ordinance, it can't be shortcut. It has to have actual actionable objective standards, and it has to look at cumulative impacts. In order to be compliant with the law, in order to protect the important public trust resources that are embodied in the Scottish Chapter River. So thank you for your consideration of this, and I look forward to continuing to engage in the future. Thank you.
So for clarification, I think Ms.
Natalie Reed, County Council, and just for clarification, because commenters have commented on this informational document as an ordinance, that this is not an ordinance. The county has a well standards ordinance that, let's see, Chapter 8 of Title 5 of the Siskiyou County Code, and that ordinance was adopted in 1990, and it's actually essentially the state's model ordinance. were to rescind the ordinance entirely, the state's model ordinance goes into effect, which is essentially our code section. So at this juncture, this is not an ordinance amendment. This is a set of informational guidelines for applicants to let them know, here are the existing laws, and here is how your application is going to be processed under those laws.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Looks like we have another online.
Nick Johnson, it's your turn to speak.
Hi, I'm Nick Jones, I'm out of Shasta, California. I'd like to echo the sentiment of the gentleman from Gazelle. I come from a ranching family, and I think one of the unintended consequences of groundwater use has been neighbors' wells affecting each other. And there's been a number of members of the ranching community who've described incidents where their wells are no longer productive because they've seen neighboring wells go in close to theirs to deeper levels and have affected that productivity. So I think the county also has to remember when considering public trust, and I also echo Nat Kane's sentiment about public trust, but the county also has to remain engaged with the ag community to keep them informed about what they can do if they have concerns about their wells being affected by neighbors. And this is an important part that will play out in the future. Also, how groundwater extraction is going to affect surface water rights. So there's a really intimate interplay there that is going to have impacts to the agricultural community if we don't get this right. Thank you.
Okay. Looks like another one online. Am I seeing that correct or not?
Caller ending in 3594, it's your turn to speak.
Hi, this is Monty Schmidt, and I am with the Nature Conservancy Water Program. And I would like to just echo some of the great comments that have already been provided so far about this effort. Recognizing groundwater is really an important resource that increasingly, as we've gone through a series of extreme droughts, has become a place where a lot of folks look to reliability. And it's increased the number of wells that have gone in obviously in Siskiyou County and elsewhere throughout the state, and in the Central Valley resulted in the passage of the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. The need to take time here to address the public trust resource nexus here with this ordinance is extremely important for ongoing reliability of water supplies for existing users, as the folks from Gazelle spoke eloquently about the impact to their ongoing long-standing operations. I think that this is one facet, obviously the importance of understanding stream flow depletion from wells impacting other wells, as well as impacting streams that are important for salmonids, is an extremely important issue. And taking the time to develop the models and tools that allow for assessment of impact will help develop a program that is actually sustainable and reliable and meets the needs of the community and agriculture as well as fisheries. And I appreciate it. I hope that you folks will take the time to develop a process that allows folks to provide input in on these important issues. Thank you.
If I could get your name, sir, I couldn't hear it the first.
Oh, you bet. Monty Schmidt with the Nature Conservancy.
Monty, you said, is the first name?
Yes, Monty Schmidt.
Thank you.
Thank you. You got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else online?
Showing no others online.
Any others in-house? None. Okay. So while this is not an ordinance, I think what you're looking for today is support for the guidelines that you have here, is that correct? And the addition or not of requirement of indemnification agreement in that. issuance of a well permit. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, and you know, predominantly a decision direction regarding the indemnification agreement due to include or not include.
Okay. Bring it back to the board. Supervisor Howe.
Thank you. I want to look at, so, correct me if I'm wrong, we're attempting through policy to address the governor's orders for drought with these procedures, is that correct?
Yeah, that's the primary focus, and again, it's basically educational flow process on how we are doing with the governor's orders.
And so the question I have then is, the governor's orders are set to sunset in March of next year, and without authorization they will sunset. Would these procedures sunset as well, or is that a separate action of this board?
I believe it is incorporated in our guidelines statement and we will refer to council.
I believe the last time we looked at the order,
that was my question.
So, yeah, and within the guidelines, it does indicate that the processing procedures outlined therein that are associated with the governor's order would end when the governor rescinded the order.
Okay, and then my next is on the indemnity agreement. You know, I spoke in opposition to this, you know, still opposed in asking a private citizen to take on the liability of the government individually. And I certainly would never do that in anything I do because it's boundless, if you will. So in what you're proposing, I may not like it to support it, but in what's being proposed, what is actually covered by this indemnification by a private citizen?